Hello and welcome to Vancouverite. Joining me on this beautiful morning is nobody. I have no guests today. And I'm having massive technical problems and it seems like everything's about to explode. So that's great. But I am in an amazing mood. Let's do that right. Welcome to Vancouverite, your favorite morning comedy show. Every Friday morning at 10 a.m. We talk about comedy, news, life, and we always have a great time, no matter what. Even if the world was ending, I'd be smiling. And I would be smiling anyway, because I was at the Yuck Off last night. Yuck Yucks came first place, moving on up in the world, winning competitions. That's two now for this month. Woo! And yeah, just having a great old time here. I wonder if you can hear this. Can you hear that? Yeah, you probably can. That's that's what I'm working with. This good thing about doing a comedy show is everything's just fodder for your. This is where all the music and everything that I'm supposed to do is come out. And wow, what a lovely thing to experience. So imagine how hard I'm gonna have to work here to make you guys happy. But I'm a generous lover, so it's okay. I've been drinking a lot of kombucha this morning. I quit coffee recently. Been going into that in great detail. It made me a little bit too anxious. So, yeah, I've been getting on the old kombucha train. And I'll tell you, it puts you in a weird... It's strange, because it's not like caffeine. It's a little different. It's like... Yeah, feel free to close the door, sir. You don't have to listen to me talk about kombucha. It gives you this weird aura, like a strange supernatural power, if you will. I've never experienced anything quite like it. It's interesting. Highly recommend it. There are globs of mucus-like alien substance floating in kombucha, which tends to... But you know what? I just drink them anyway. I figure if it's good enough for this delicious drink, it's good enough for me. And so that's what I'm on. Major technical problems and a massive kombucha high. It's a strange... I feel like life is trying to tell me something, you know? Nature is good. Technology is not working. Last night I saw someone from high school for the first time in a while at the comedy show. I'm getting to the point where I'm doing a lot of shows, seeing people I haven't seen in a while. You know, comedian, you're at a show, you see someone from high school. And I've got a reunion coming up. So this is the big question. Am I going to the reunion? 10 years. A 10-year reunion from Lord Byng Secondary. I mean, I'll tell you, high school, horrible experience. Not a good time, even slightly. So I'm not exactly, yeah, I don't know. I just don't know if I should go or not. I've never really had an experience like that where I'm so torn. Because here's the thing. I want to experience something that I can only experience once. I mean, who wouldn't? Right? That's cool. I'm never going to be able to go to my 10-year reunion again. Then again, I'll never be able to cut off my finger with a serrated knife. I can only do that once as well, and I'm not doing that. So that argument's kind of out. Being able to only do something once, not that awesome. You know, also, if you guys can hear me, we're having some technical problems in here. Oh, they're coming by. All right. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble. That's okay. Hey, yeah, you pull back the curtain. You get everybody involved. Well, now I don't know how to communicate. Don't worry. We're having a great time. So I consulted with my friend. And all right, you're making me panic. Either help me or... Okay. All right. All right, we're good. We're having a great time. We're having a great time here on 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory. This show might be canceled soon. I've gotten in trouble 3 weeks in a row now. But like I said, big winner last night, and wasn't that great. Terrible lighting on the winner's photo. Anyway, let's stay on track. If you want to call in, by the way, and give me some advice on whether or not I should go to my high school reunion, please do. 604-UBC-CITR. That is 604-822-2487. Man, last week, by the way, a lot of call-ins. You know, I mean, if they do cancel the show, man, will they be missing out on some great content, because people are getting involved. It was really fun. And boy, do I ever need a call in today. Yeah, there's never been a better time to call in and maybe go, wow, Alex is doing a great job despite his many errors. We love having him on the air. You could maybe help me out. But yeah, I don't know. Like, because high school was horrible. But you got that amazing image in your head, like, I'm going to go back to my reunion. Everybody's going to be super impressed with me. The bully's going to apologize. Maybe I'll kick his butt. And all the people that wouldn't talk to me, it's going to be amazing. Probably it's just going to be high school again, which was horrible. It's probably just going to be an older, slightly uglier version of something I hate, like eating an ice cream cone that's balding. Does that make sense? And it's not even like at a hall or at a school. It's at a bar. Like, that really shows you the caliber of the students from Lord Byng Secondary. They wouldn't even let us back into the school to do the reunion. We have to go to some like Manchester sticky wickety thing. And they're like, yeah, they've sectioned off a special VIP section. No, they just don't want us in the regular bar when they do the reunion. So I feel like we're off to a slow start, but now plenty of food for thought here. And I've gotten so used to having other people in the studio with me, I've forgotten what it's like to be all by yourself. It's kind of a weird experience. I've been on set too. That's what's been being part of this ABC miniseries, the Gus Van Sant, which is pretty nice. It's about Cleve Jones, who took over the gay rights movement after Harvey Milk passed away. And you know, I'll tell you something. Life is so unfair. I mean, in so many ways, but especially in the sense that, well, let me give you an example. So as I was walking here, there's a lot of construction happening in UBC. We are, of course, broadcasting from UBC, our wonderful new studio here, where everything works smoothly, and I never complain on air because I'm not supposed to do that. And it's great here. Love it. And I walked by a construction zone with a lot of construction workers, and they were all eating their decrepit, awful food, their sandwiches, and I saw a guy pouring out almond milk because it was rotten. This is the life of a construction worker. You work for like 6 hours doing dangerous, hard labor, and then at the end of it, you go, man, I'm hungry, burnt a lot of calories. What's on the menu? You know what's on the menu? Whatever you brought from home. You have to pack your own lunch. Isn't that insane? These guys, if you compare that to life on a film set, I arrived on set. I sat there for 5 hours without doing anything. Oh, I shouldn't quite say that. There was one moment where they gave me a free haircut because they said my hair could look better. So I got a free haircut, and then they brought out the snacks. So I'm snacking and I'm getting my haircut. And at the end of that, we break for lunch. So I've done nothing at this point. The construction workers have been busting their behinds, and I have amazing catering. I'm eating blue cheese stuffed pork. This is so, I think I need to start, this is my new initiative. Forget Ice Bucket Challenge or, Amnesty International. What I'm going to start doing is bringing catering to construction sites, because these are the true heroes. These are the people that are working hard and getting no catering. And it's amazing because if you go on a film set, people get conditioned to whatever their situation is so quickly. So even though you're getting this catering, people will be like, well, you know, the Caesar salad's a bit, or I'm union. I should actually be getting a separate spread of pastries than the regular principal and background performer. You actually need to give us a minute. You know, people will always complain, and it's quite interesting, but very unfair. And I feel bad. I'm going to start this probably. This sounds like one of my ideas that I get super excited about and then I never actually do, but hopefully I'll actually be able to follow through and deliver some great food to some construction workers. Maybe they'd just be weirded out about that. I don't know. There's a great great podcast in Vancouver called Steel Boots Required, where they talk all about hard labor jobs. So check that out if you want. I'll tell you, a comedy competition, back to this, you can tell I'm upset. Well, winning. When you win, you just want to talk about it. It's great. It's a great feeling. And when you lose, it's the worst thing ever. I was thinking, it's such a gamble, because my happiness today is completely built up. My castle in the sky is held up Oh, this analogy makes no sense. But it's held up by all the losers that didn't win last night. And I feel kind of bad about that. I feel, is that weird? Do I need to go to therapy about that? Should I feel bad that I won? Probably not. That's probably more annoying to a loser if the winner feels bad. But, whatever. They announced the winners backwards. So it's 3-2-1, third place, second place, first place, all advance to the next round. And I'll tell you, that listening to those people, I feel like I've said, I'll tell you, like, four times. I want to make sure everybody knows that's not, like, my new thing. I'm not, like, I'll tell you guy now. I'll tell you. And we're not going to change your name. It's just an annoying thing I'm doing for some reason. And I'm sweating a lot, too. But they're waiting for... I mean, comedy is already so stressful. And to add the element of competition into it, that is horrible. That is a nightmare. That is, like... Because competition is so stressful. That's like if you went to an NBA game and made everyone on the court have to also get laughs and come up with bits as they were dunking. Do you know what I mean? That is, you think I'm sweating right now. I am. Oh, I was dying last night. And they announced third place first. So you go, okay, well, I didn't get third. Now I can only get second or first. And then they announced second. Boom, didn't get third or second. And I'm like, so now I'm mentally preparing myself because my self-esteem is so low. You know, I would never imagine that I can actually get first. So, and I thought, and then they say my name, and I was so groggy, I was so excited that I almost fell down while I was running on stage. I'm like, oh God, oh, this is amazing. Running up, and then you got to do the thing where, like, oh, it was nothing, I don't care too much about this, and try to look kind of like, no big deal, and you high-five the other, but inside you're like, I did it. And, and this is not even, it's only the first round. Imagine if I won something actually important. That would be amazing. And I was so happy I forgot to pay for my drinks. What kind of a dude wins and then doesn't pay for any of their drinks that they bought all night? I just left. And then so that was kind of brutal. That was unfortunate. But yeah, we're off to a great start here. I have all my ducks lined up, and I love ducks. Although I recently found out that ducks are one of, like, the cruelest animals in the animal kingdom. Speaking of animal kingdom, great Australian movie, Guy Pearce on set. Great guy to work with. Just want to name drop. Really cool guy, you know? Not one of these look me in the eye and I'll kick you off set kind of guy. A great guy. But anyway, ducks drown their duck sons and daughters. Their chicks? Are those only chickens? Ducklings. I've seen it happen. My sister and mom and me were all down by the lagoon, and the ducks were like, oh, look at these beautiful creatures. These little guys are so nice. I love a duck. And then, lo and behold, they're drowning their kids. And we started throwing rocks, and we're like, don't do that. Please, stop. And we watched those ducks kill their family. Vancouverite.
Lose this weird.
Oh, welcome back to Vancouverite with me, Alex Biron, and we had a bit of a shaky start, but we are in the zone now. Man, am I feeling good. I'm awake. I'm the only one here. No guests. I'm the boss. I'm my own man. I've broken off from the pack. I'm overselling myself. I'm really just a lonely dude. I wish there was somebody here, but you know what? This is good for me. Makes me better. And Nietzsche said something about, I think if you do radio by yourself, you become stronger, more attractive, or something like that. So we're in the mix. We're going to be listening to music. And that's probably the most awkward way you could ever say that. We're going to be listening to music. But that was Hiroshi Sato, I Can't Wait. And I was thinking for today, we could do some deep, deep, deep 80s Japanese cuts. We're talking like 600 views on YouTube. Stuff that like... they were punished by the government after they made it. That's the wrong decade. The 80s were cool. I don't know why I said that. But like, something you'd have to dig way back in the crates for. When would you have ever heard that song? What a dark, sinister chord change at the end of that hook. We listened to all these songs. We found the best ones, and we are playing them for you today. I don't know why I'm saying we. It's the royal we. I am the king. Speaking of kings, I have become obsessed with this. Do I want to make this public? Let's do it. I've become obsessed with this weightlift blogger named Rich Piana. And let me give you some statistics, some facts about this guy. Try to get a mental picture here or just look up a picture. But this guy, he weighs 314 pounds and it's all muscle. He makes all his money from his supplement brand, which is called 5%. And it's called that because only 5% of people live their dreams. And he's completely open with taking steroids. So he's completely roided out. He's has all this plastic surgery. He's huge. Tattoos. Bit of a meathead, but like a lovable meathead. Like, he's personable. And he blogs all the time, every day. And my friend and I got onto him initially, my roommate and I, because we were watching cringe compilations, which are like long compilations. I tried to think of a synonym for compilation. I have no idea, but and this guy was in it, and we're like, and so we started making fun of him. Wow, this guy is an embarrassment to mankind. This is so pathetic. And then we got hooked, and now I'm watching like these 30 days bulk up pec video because this guy is so great. All he does is work out and eat. He eats a tub of Ben and Jerry's every single day. Like if your muscles get big enough, they just burn everything, I think. And you can eat whatever you want because he has no fat on him and he's eating a tub of Ben and Jerry's. And here's the kicker. He lives in the States. And bad news for you if you might want to turn your radios off if you love ice cream. But in Canada, we are not getting the good stuff. We have like four flavors. Oh, hi, would you like Cherry Garcia, the half-baked, the other, whatever our cross-marketing thing is now, Americone, Dream, Stephen Colbert, not the greatest ice cream selection. In the States, you could eat a different flavor each day. They've got Greek yogurt-flavored Ben & Jerry's, cinnamon bun Ben & Jerry's. I mean, I would love to eat a cinnamon bun Ben & Jerry's. You don't want to know what I would do to eat a cinnamon bun Ben & Jerry's, but that's beside the point. America, better flavors, better Netflix, better guns, more gun selection. I've got a friend who's about to go to, came to supported me last night, by the way, if you're listening, thank you so much, Carmen. But she's about to go to Disneyland for a year to hang out and, well, not to hang out, to work. And she's a little terrified. And I feel bad because like that should be a really happy, exciting thing. Yay, I'm going to Disneyland for a whole year. I keep saying Disneyland, it's Disney World. This is going to be great. But unfortunately, Disney World, not doing so hot in the news. A gator carries off a four-year-old kid. And then they've got murdering alligators there, like Peter Pan. And I wonder if it was part of the... that's insensitive. But animals are killing humans in Disney World. And that Orlando killer wrote that Disney World was his backup plan. Like, It's between Pulse Nightclub and Disney World. What would be a happier, more, I guess, Latin night at a gay club just beat out Disney World in terms of, like, which would be a happier place? Because you can't quite top Latin night. But yeah, that stinks. That's unfortunate. Happiest place in the world, and all this bad stuff is happening. It makes me really sad. So I hope that things go better for her. Fascinating though, the politics and the inner workings of Disney World. She's been telling me all about it. I didn't know like that there's only one Mickey on. I mean, Disney World for starters, much bigger than I could have possibly imagined. I knew that Disney World had a Disneyland within it, which is already pretty impressive, but you can drive full speed apparently from like one side of Disney World to the other, and it'll take, I don't know, like half an hour or something. I probably should have found out what these. It's big. It's really. It's a world. It's a huge place. Only one Mickey allowed in all of Disney World at one time. Isn't that cool? They really thought it through, because that would be kind of crushing to a kid. Or maybe it wouldn't. Maybe it'd be like multiple Mickeys. No, it would be crushing. So you've got to go actually find Mickey Mouse. I just think that's so great. I love Disney World. I'm so on board with it. You know, you might think I'm a tree-hugging kombucha kind of guy, and I am. I do get very angry when I go to 88 Supermarket on Victoria, and yeah, I'm calling you out. That's right. I don't know if I'm allowed to do that. I'm throwing you guys under the bus. You've got to get on with the reusable bag system. This is nobody, that supermarket, I'm going to be protest notes. Nobody is using reusable bags. People are getting bags for single items. I saw a guy get tofu the other day. One tofu, put it in a bag. You can carry that, bud. It's not even that cold. How did I even get here? Bags, Disney World. I don't know. We're having a blast here. I've got I've got so much work coming up. I do this thing where I look ahead of my schedule and I panic, first of all. I go, okay, I need money so badly, so I'll just take all the shifts. Click, 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 click. And then the days come and I've completely forgotten that I was working. And then I go, there's been some kind of mistake. I'm scheduled for all these days. Oh no, you haven't made a mistake. You're just an idiot. You took all the work. So now you have to do it. And I have to work for some like Francophone festival. I mean, I wish I could be plugging some, the beginning of this is, yeah, I won a Yuck Yucks comp, going to the second round of the big summer competition. Why am I not plugging shows that are coming up? It's because I accidentally took like every job in the world. I don't even need, I'm over day jobbing it. So I've decided to buy myself a treat. The smart thing to do would be pay off my debt. I think I need a little treat though. So I'm going to be, I don't know what I'm going to get. What's a good treat? Maybe I'll buy a new skateboard. That's right. I'm still skateboarding. I'm 27. You can do it for longer than when you're a kid. I don't know why basketball, like Obama's playing basketball. He's getting on in years and everyone's like, that's so cool that he plays basketball. Obama should be skateboarding for sure. Shout out the Plaza on Sunday. There's a big primitive demo. How great is that? Big skate demo at the Plaza. I don't know. Skateboarding gets such a bad reputation. And my friend James hit the nail on the head when he said, he has this bit about it where he says that in high school, he'd be skateboarding with his friends and he would get kicked out of an alley or something like, you kids skateboarding, get out of here. So they'd kick them out and there's no more skateboarding. They'd say, oh, we'll just go do drugs then. And they would go do drugs. So it's like this skateboarding dangerous activity. It's keeping people from doing drugs. It's a great thing to do. People are so angry about it. It definitely comes down to the sound. I mean, I'll take the other side here for a bit because I'm the only one in the room. And I think there's something very obnoxious and hateable about the sound of a skateboard if you're not the one doing it. And I guess you can get on board if it's you. So you're like, yay, I can, every pop and grind is happiness. Like when I hear a guy skateboarding at night, I'm like, yes, I'm on board. That guy's having a great time. I love this. Unfortunately, some people do not. And that just shows that it's all perception. It's how you look at the world is life, man. Man, it's all, you open your eyes, but that really is it. I mean, you open your window at night and suddenly you hear this. To a skateboarder, that's great. You hear somebody popping along and yay, this is, oh. Listen to these big, loud sounds of skateboarding. Yeah. But it's so hateable. And, you know, Vancouver used to be a mecca for skateboarding. We got to take a break soon here, but let me get this final thought out. That it used to be one of the best skate spots in the world. In the world. Because there's all these banks downtown with handrails and marble ledges. And then one dude, a skateboarder, in fact, a trader, and this is true, started a company called Skate Stoppers and designed a way for companies to hire this contractor to put knobs and little, you know, those little things you see all over that stop people from having fun? Fun stoppers, they should be called. And this guy, I mean, is it possible to sell out more than to be a skateboarder and then design something that stops skateboarding? I mean, that is, I'm developing a lisp. That's how angry I'm getting here. Not cool. Call in, Skate Stopper guy. Ugh. Okay, we're going to get back on the obscure Japanese 80s music with Ryuichi Sakamoto from his Illustrated Musical Encyclopedia-san. I love this deep Japanese music. It's great. They should play this more in Japanese restaurants. Whenever I go to an izakaya, it's like Journey and Jock Rock. And it's like, I get what you're trying to do, but, you know, you could just play Japanese music. It's awesome. So we're gonna dive in. We're going to listen to a couple ads. And even our ads are good on CITR. We're so awesome. And then you're going to be back with me, Alex Biron, on Vancouverite. And we're going to hang out for some longer time. Longer time? That's a weird thing to say. Thank you.
To understand more about fashion, we asked CITR student executive and fashion expert Jonathan Q what fashion means to him.
Like, it's just aesthetically something that's so ostentatious. Typically. I mean, because of course, I mean, it's also, you know, I mean, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism, as opposed to someone who buys, like you know, all the clothes. Let's say, you know, someone buys a
If you really want to know more about fashion, come on down to CITR in the Student Union Building of UBC and pick up some of our merchandise à la mode. Nous avons t-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, and coffee mugs.
But it's also very aesthetically gripping.
To keep you styling in support of the station you love. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Well, actually, is it? Because, I mean, you know, I was going to say because of the cultural vacuum that we exist within, but then, you know, really, fashion today is kind of derived from the European idea of couture, and that's been around for centuries.
Hey, why so sad?
Oh, nothing, really.
Not very convincing, Jane girl. Whatever it is, I've got just the cure for it.
One, two, three, four.
Did you know CITR has a women's collective? This brand new collective is all about providing and fostering a community for women who are or who want to be in radio, fighting the gender disparity in media, and centering women's voices and issues. If you are a female-identified person or ally who's already involved in radio or wants somewhere to start, this collective is for you. Email womenscollective@citr.ca for more information and to get involved.
And tune in Friday at 6 p.m. for the collective show, Lady Radio, featuring music, interviews, events, news, commentary, basically anything we care to talk about. See you then.
And we're back on Vancouver, right? Your favorite morning comedy show. What a time we're having today. We're digging through the crates, playing some very obscure Japanese 80s music. Before that break, you heard Paradise Lost by Ryuichi Sakamoto. That's from 1986. And what a guy that this guy is. He's a critic of copyright law. He says it's antiquated in the information age. I don't actually know what antiquated is, but I like this guy. And check out some of his awesome music. He's wrote scores for Pedro Almodovar, Oliver Stone. Great guy. And there's more to come. But as usual, I am Alex Biron, and wow, what a great year it's been so far. Other than the constant tragedies, have you looked in the news? It's horrible. And I know I'm not breaking new ground here by saying like, wow, news is depressing. But on that fateful day where there was the alligator attack and the Orlando thing, my roommate and I went through CNN, and 9 out of 10 stories were negative. There was a streak we went on where it was pedophile goes on 25-year streak without being caught. Government is complicit. More rainforest being burnt than ever before. And then two, you know, run-of-the-mill ISIS stories. And by run-of-the-mill ISIS story, I mean like massive, horrible murder. You ever think about like how awesome life here in Vancouver is? Like, it's almost too awesome. It feels like we're just with our existence, we're like tempting the gods, you know. I know there's that big earthquake coming, but I'm fine. I'll just have my chia seed oatmeal and go down to the seawall, a veritable cliff made of wobbly bricks next to the ocean. I know that this could collapse, and the ocean is where tsunamis come from, but let's be honest, we're overdue for an earthquake, but there's no. It's probably for the next generation. It's coming. It's coming, people. And we have escape rooms. Rooms where you pay to go inside and get trapped. There's an escape room in Vancouver called Exit that has a 1% success rate, baby. That's 1 out of every 100 people manages to get out. That means that everyone else is just stuck in a room without an earthquake. So you're going to go in there. Someone's waking up on that fateful day when the big one hits. And they're going to be in a haunted sarcophagus or mafia holding cell or whatever the theme is. And you're like, wow, I'm so glad I took shrooms for this. I'm going to be tripping. I'm going to have this immersive experience. And then the ground's going to start shaking. The lights are going to turn off. There's tiles falling from the ceiling. Screaming's outside. And then they're going to be like, wow, the special effects in here are really good. And they're going to have a crazy, crazy old time. Maybe that would be the best way to experience an earthquake, though, is if you really thought it was all just a ride. And you could just kind of, as long as you had water, you'd be okay. I don't really even understand the way the earthquake preparedness kit works. You know, it's like, oh, you got to go get some water, which you have to change quarterly, and a ration, a belt, flashlight, rope. Put it all in a backpack. Okay, what am I supposed to carry around this backpack? What about my regular backpack with my normal things in it? Am I supposed to have two backpacks, like some sort of Miyazaki wanderer? What am I doing here? And is it going to be at home when it's not? And you know what? If I have a kit, everybody is just going to prey on me and be like, this guy's got water and rations. Let's kill him. Maybe I should give the human race a little more credit. I mean, we're not necessarily going to become a the road Cormac McCarthy-like wasteland if it hits. This is what I'm hoping. Wouldn't it be awesome if the big earthquake came, but it was just like a 6.5? Like, it was big enough to be like, that was the big one, but then it wasn't that bad. And we could all be like, we lived through the big one. Nobody died. Maybe like a couple, like, annoying people died. Just because if there was zero deaths, it wouldn't be like a big thing. I'm going to lose some people with that. But I think that that's what we need. And then we can just go through that together. And we don't have to stress out anymore. Because I love this city, but I don't want to live in this city. I don't want to live in a place where it's like catastrophe around the corner and Pulitzer Prize winning article, we're all dead. It's not fun. I was reading that Richmond, if a 9.0 earthquake hits, is going to turn into quicksand. Like freaking Jumanji. People, remember that movie? You know what I worry about sometimes is that, like, see, because movies haven't been around for that long. So we were in really the golden age of references in like 2001. And 9/11 kind of spoiled that year anyway. But you know what I mean? Like, it was still recent enough that you could reference the 90s, the 80s, the 70s. And then everything before that was like old movies. Perfect. So many references. And now, give it another two decades. And I'm going to be a 47-year-old man referencing Shawshank Redemption. Nobody is going to know what I'm talking about. There's been a million movies since then. And speaking of movies, by the way, box office is falling apart. Nobody's going to the movies. Did you guys know that? Nobody wants. And maybe this is a good thing because there's so many sequels. And the sequel number one, number two, and then reboot. And then remake. And then a recut, and then a director's reboot, remake, recut. It just goes on and on and on. Maybe people are starting to get wise to that. I hope so. But yeah, numbers are way down. People are not, except for in China. China's still liking the movies. They're still, China's holding us back, because if they got on board with this hate, and we're like, we're not gonna watch the next four Avatar sequels. Did you guys know that? They're making four Avatar sequels. That movie was such a one and done. Overrated. It was fine. And whenever I heard a good thing about Avatar, it was somebody saying, you know, I don't like 3D, but in Avatar, it was actually pretty good. Okay, that's not really a compliment. You know what I mean? Like, if you had a friend named Jim and it was like, you know, Jim's kind of a D-bag, but when we went ziplining, he was okay, you know? He's a pretty good guy to go ziplining with. Okay, ziplining comes around, what, once in, I don't know, well, I've actually done it a lot. But you know what, I would like to do the ziplining over the bears at Grouse. Although I'm against zoos. I'm for ziplining, but I'm against zoos, so that would kind of be a give and take type thing. Also, I've been reading all these stories about alligators. There was a 3-day period where there was two alligator attacks and one ant killing. That's right. And this isn't like a relative ant. This is like a group of killer fire ants taking away your daughter. What is, I mentioned Jumanji before. Is somebody playing Jumanji? Can you roll a 4 and finish the game? Mosquitoes are getting, I killed a mosquito in my house the other day. I was like, I'm going to kill this mosquito and then I'm going to kill myself because I can't deal. I don't want the mosquito to be big enough that I can see its eyes. You know what I mean? Like it's some sort of cartoon character. By the way, I'm giving you guys freaking gold here. That's like 8 amazing bits in a row. Call in 604-822-2487. Don't just drive your car and listen to this. Get involved. Now someone's going to call in and be like, you need to come down for those. That was not that great. But I'm having fun. Yeah, they're huge. Also, did you know we have wolf spiders in Vancouver? That's right, wolf spiders. A spider named after a wolf. Any spider where they put together, any animal where they put together like multiple bad things like hammerhead sharks, electric eel, that's not great. Wolves are bad. Spiders are bad. Wolf, spider, not good. You get a silver lining with wolves because when they're young, they're super cute. A young spider is not cute. Spider bad. You got to give them a little bit of credit for that. Spider bad all the way. Right through. Spider really the most badass animal. I wonder what spiders think of us. To a spider, we are just a massive titan. A pale, pasty, I'm a little tanned right now, I'm not going to lie, but just lumbering around. And even the biggest spider is still so small to a, even the biggest spider is so small to a human. But we're terrified of it. I don't know what's going on. I think maybe we need to, it is bizarre that people can be terrified of spiders. Like, there's a spider in my kitchen. And they'd be like, but I'm okay with the gun laws in America. You know, like, there's a lot of people that are pro-guns, anti-mice. Like, if a mice runs in here, you gotta kill it, because I can't have this thing in my house. But we have 4 Desert Eagles, in case we have an intruder. But, oh, there's an intruder mouse. I mean, is anyone else just like, I gotta take another break here, but this is anyone else just can't comprehend the gun thing? Like, feel like you're taking crazy pills type of like, is it just because I live in Canada and it's different here and I don't get it and it's part of like a patriot, like if there were no guns, if they had pulled in Australia a few years ago and be like, there's too many shootings, let's get a sweeping gun reform, the Orlando shooting would not have happened, right? Like all those people are still alive. That's like a sure thing, right? So what is going on with the guns? Can you just take away? And it's like, oh, this is simplistic. It's a complex problem. Is it? I don't know if it is. It seems to me that 75% of people agree with probably with what I just said. Like, we don't need it. Everyone having a gun to make us safer because people are dangerous because we have guns is not a solution. We gotta get rid of guns. But there's that group of thick-headed gun nuts. Pry it from my cold, dead, homophobic hands. You know, those people, that's what's holding us back, obviously. And I feel like that's, you just can't reason with those people. You can't. Because you can throw stats at them. You can be like, you know, there were more shootings last year than days on the calendar. And they'll be like, well, we need to add more days to the calendar. Yeah! Or you'll be like, there were the same amount of shootings in the States I got that backwards. There were the same amount of gun-related deaths in Japan last year as lightning deaths in the States. Does that illustrate something? Lightning? Well, that's because we got some kick-ass lightning up here. The lightning's taking names. Well, that's, I don't know. So why don't we just let the gun nuts, if I can call them that, have guns? We can't argue with that. Make like an amendment 2.5 where it's like, if you really need the guns, fine. And then everyone else doesn't get a gun. Would that be okay? Some sort of gun nut test? I mean, I know it's not a perfect solution, but it's all I got right now. Because people are just, they're obsessed. Obsessed with the old gun. I shot one once. Honestly, not that great. I can do without it. I've had better. It's no bubble tea, I'll tell you that. More music, Vancouver, right? Be back soon. We're live and we're getting a phone call right away here, so excuse me while I turn that on. Hello, how are you? Hello, you're live on the air. All right, and they've hung up.
Tune in every Friday at 10 a.m. for Vancouver, right? With your hosts, Alex Biron and Simon Armstrong. News, music, personal stories, and everything you need to know about the local comedy scene. What else would you be doing at 10 a.m. on a Friday? Well, you're probably at work, and if you have the day off, you've already made plans. It doesn't matter. Just be there and call in anytime.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
Those smooth sounds you are hearing are from Jiro Inagaki and Soul Media. Funky stuff, laying down all our background beats for the day when we're coming out of ads. And you, before we went to break, you heard Tatsuro Yamashita from the album Go Ahead with an exclamation mark, The Whispering Sea. Now, they say that you curse yourself if you put a exclamation mark or any sort of punctuation. Is that what that's called? I don't know. Question marks, exclamation marks, marks. You mark yourself for failure. It's a curse. Like, you'll notice that Who Framed Roger Rabbit, the film, doesn't have... It's a question. Who framed Roger Rabbit? But there is no question mark, because that's supposed to be a jinx. There's a question mark in my radio show title. So, I don't know, maybe... Well, this show is a failure. I don't know. But this album has an exclamation mark. And it's a success in my eyes. Unfortunately, it's also a very obscure Japanese album from the 80s that probably made almost no money. But you know what? It's not about money, is it? Yeah, it is. It's about money. No, it's not. It is. But yeah, but come on. I mean, isn't it about just having fun and dead presidents? That's what it's about. You know how there's some, like, action movies where people are born without fear? Like, I don't have any fear. The pituitary gland is broken on me. I wish I could be born not caring about debt. Like, if I could just accumulate debt. I can't. I'm not good at accumulating any debt. Like, as soon as I have $4, I just freak out and I pay it off. It's just a number. It's just a number. And Visa's always calling me. Hey, do you want to increase your credit limit another $10,000? I should just do it. I should just dive in. You guys asked for this. You know. You know how much I pay off my credit cards. You know I can't afford this. But lo and behold, you guys had to go off and, lol, have some more credit. Credit for everyone. Well, you know what? I went and did it. And I bought a car. I don't know if you can buy a car on a, on a credit card. But, oh man, we're having a great time. You're listening to Vancouver, right? Every Friday at 10 a.m. with me, Alex Biron. It's a comedy show. Talk, interviews, blah-bitty-boo. And we're broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory. And I must say, this Musqueam territory, unceded or not, is looking amazing. This place is, it's so beautiful out there. I can hardly believe it. There was a little thing going on yesterday. I was looking at the sky. I was walking through a park yesterday. And I had an uncontrollable, like, I couldn't fight it. I had stuff to do. I lay down on the ground. I pulled a lay. I was just lying on the grass. And I couldn't move. It was so nice out. There was that thing going on where there was multiple cloud layers. Like, there was a high cloud that wasn't moving. And then there was a low, I believe it's called maybe a nimbus. I hope it's a nimbus because I love that word. That was just drifting. You know? It was like, some things stay the same. Some things change. Talk to me, clouds. Talk to me. You know what we've got coming up next at 12 o'clock? Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. God, I love that show. This guy, I got to plug this guy. I got to plug this guy. All right. I need to plug this guy's show. He is the nicest dude. I'm telling you, every time I come in, no names mentioned, some other people, maybe not the nicest at other radio stations. When I come in here, he always comes in and greets me. He doesn't have to do that. I know I'm a bumbling fool. I know that I probably drive people off the road in their cars so that by the time Dave Radio with Radio Dave comes on, they're not even listening anymore. I'm looking through the glass. This is soundproof glass. He can't hear me. He's in the next room doing prep. But you know what? I love you, Dave. You might not hear this, but you got those strong arms. And if you could just look through that glass, blow me a little kiss. Love you. And I love this radio station because where else? My girlfriend's giving her little cousin a tour of one of the big terrestrial radio stations in Vancouver. And I mean, all the power to you. You got a lot of listeners. But did you know that they just script everything on those radio shows? Like, which is crazy because they demand nothing of the jocks. On the you know, it's like coming back from a Rihanna break. Okay, you've got 20 seconds. 20 seconds before you're hitting the post on the next song. Is that really that hard? Is it? You just have to go like, hey, it's a beautiful day in Vancouver and the sun is out. Man, we got blah, 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 blah. You just say something nice, maybe crack a little joke. Maybe I just illustrated that it's not as hard because I tried to improvise an easy thing and I said sun twice. I double talked the weather. But seriously, is it that? I mean, look, I'm just riffing and going here and we're having fun. They script it so that you come back and it's like, hey, it's International Hopscotch Day. So get out there and hopscotch. And did you know that the 10 most likely ways you'll lose your girlfriend, number 4, when you get back? I mean, give people a little freedom. This is that's always been my philosophy, is like, okay, sure, you could get 5 straight years of flawless radio where it's like, you know, nobody stuttered. It was a impeccable, word proof, no holes. That we said everything we were supposed to say. Okay, well, that's not human. That's, people aren't like that. Nobody talks like that. I don't think that's good for your brain. You know, like McDonald's tastes perfect. Every time I eat a McDonald's cheeseburger, I'm like, that is wow. And then it goes inside me, and my body goes, what are you doing? What is this? This isn't food. I feel like that's like a lot of radio, is that it's all cheesy and circular and round and every single one is the same and exactly what you expect. And then it goes inside you and you don't feel good. is that pretentious? That's pretty pretentious. I'm like a vegan burger that really, like a really delicious. I have a bit where I talk about this vegan butcher in Toronto called Yam Chops. That's right. There's a vegan, a cruelty-free butcher in Toronto called Yam Chops. And I mean, my bit is kind of making fun of it. Obviously, I'm not going to do a pro Yam Chop bit. In my bit, I'm like, well, you know, if they're going to, and some woman calls out, she's like, "Woo, vegan butcher." And this is the problem with a set time frame like that. I wanted to just eviscerate this person, but I couldn't. You're stuck on track, but let's go into this. Let's actually, I've got to Google this place because I've been making fun of this place for ages, but I've never actually. Yam Chops, all the meat made out of vegetables. The steak is soybean, sausages are cauliflower, and I think I'd like to open a salad bar where all the vegetables are made of meat. Namaste. Yeah, baby. That's the bit. Doing bits on the air. Hey, I've been improvising so much. Is it improvising? Riffing. We're riffing. We're kiffing. Oh, this was on the Dragon's Den. That's cool. You know what? I kid because I love. Because I... Maybe not tuna-less tuna. That's just bizarre. But they've got incredible... There's this company called Impossible Foods that just designed a burger. Tastes like a burger. Bleeds like a burger. You can do it medium rare. And no animals. They extract this blood from roots of plants. I'm so on board for this. I'm so down. I wouldn't eat meat. I'm not eating meat because I'm like, yeah, just, I just want to, like, thinking about that animal suffer. I eat it because it's delicious. That's the only reason I eat meat. Just because it's good. And probably if I had to see animals getting killed a lot, I would not eat it as much. So I'm so on board with this. And I really hope that they make, because let's be honest, the substitutes they've got now are not cutting it. The veggie burger, it's not great. It's the Ives, the breakfast patties. I would rather endure Chinese bamboo torture than have to eat an Ives breakfast patty. The driest, most, and while we're on the food talk here, let's not get too negative. Let's talk about some, have you ever made salsa verde? Because I made salsa verde the other day, and I'm telling you, people are, you know, you go to Tocofino or La Taqueria in Vancouver, and it's like, man, I'll tell you why I come here. It's because of this amazing salsa verde. And it is good, right? It's got tomatillos in it. It's got avocados. People,
You can make this at home so easily. You can freeze it. You will be the talk of the town, the belle of the ball. You buy some tomato. This recipe is so easy. I can walk you through it. This is like a Bob Ross style cooking with Alex thing. Go out and buy some tomatillos. You can find them in most grocery stores now. You take that little leaf off. You put the tomatillos on a baking pan with some jalapenos. You bake them until they're charred. And you just blend them up with other stuff. This is not a souffle. And it is with some onion, cilantro, lime, salt. Your life will change. I made a talk. There is no better feeling than when you beat the system and you realize that you now wield the power to make one of your favorite dishes at home. Because you fall in love with the, you almost fetishize the experience of going like, every week I'm going to go to La Taqueria. By the way, I went to La Taqueria almost every day for a year because they had this reward system called Belly, where you accumulated points and you got rewards as you went along. And I was gunning. I saved up all my points, people. I wasn't going, because when you get like 500, you can get a free taco. 1,000, you can get a free horchata and a bunch of tacos for you and your friends. I didn't take a single reward. And I just let the points accumulate and accumulate because the number one reward, first place, if you got like 9,000 points or something, which, by the way, is a lot of tacos, was a free cooking class with the head chef of Taqueria. And yeah, I know this isn't, there's like 40, I would say about maybe 60 people outside our studio listening right now. I've never seen this many people just watching a live show. Hey guys, soundproof glass, you can't hear them cheering. I was waiting for that. And when I got close, I went into Taqueria last year and they had gotten rid of the Belly system. No more system. So do you understand what that? I saved up all the points and I didn't get anything. And then I didn't even get the thing that I was saving up for. It would be as though you had to do community service and you were like, okay, thank God. I don't know if this analogy works, but I like this concept. You have to do community service and you think you have to rake all the garbage off a highway for a month. And you're raking and you're raking and you're going, I'm doing all this work. At least by the end of it, I'm not going to have to go to jail. And they go, oh, it was the wrong highway. That is probably the worst analogy I've ever come up with. Oh, I should be shot for that. But yeah, that was a real bummer. And, here's the thing. So I've got obviously a bone to pick, a revenge, a Count of Monte Cristo type. Ugh, so angry at La Taqueria. And when you find out how to make something at home and you go, I don't need that cooking class. I can now make the salsa verde, which is pretty much most of the flavor. I mean, the tacos, the meat, whatever. If you got the right salsa, you're good. I tried to think of a Spanish thing that would be, that's how little Spanish I know. I couldn't even say like, yay. I was going to say, ay caramba. And I was like, no, that's negative. But, can have a fiesta and enjoy your tacos yourself. And every time I eat it, I go, that's one less taco, Taqueria. You don't own me. That's right. You don't own me. I've got anger towards most Mexican places. It would be awful if, someone's radio skipped. Did he just say he has anger towards all Mexicans? No. All Mexican restaurants in Vancouver. I've already explained La Taqueria. Taco Fino, people? Did you know they play their music really loud so that people leave the restaurant? I mean, Mexican food is about sharing. It's about going in, having some nachos, talking for a little bit. We're going to turn up the music so loud that it not only blows the speakers so that it sounds terrible, it'll blow everyone's eardrums, and then they'll have to leave. They'll have to come, buy lots of stuff because it's so awkward because you can't talk, and then leave, and we can get the next group of rubes in. Yikes. It really grinds my goat. And I like my goat. I don't like it when he's ground. We have covered some ground today. And we have so far to go because I don't think anyone's coming in at 11. And you know what that means? Oh, we're going long, baby. We're going to talk about more stuff. I've got so many ideas inside my head. I can't even, it's so great. Before, earlier in the show, I had played a song and I had plugged some of his other bands. You know, let's dive further in. We're going so far into 80s Japanese music. Not only are we listening to deep cuts, we're listening to the bands people formed after releasing their obscure album. You know what I mean? This is, if you're listening to this show right now, by the way, you're a really cool person. Not only are you hopping on the Alex Biron train at stop, well, let's be honest, it's been going for a little bit. You're not hopping on at the beginning of this Polar Express, but you're on like, there's not a lot of people on the train yet. You've got sitting room. I'll even go so far to say as you are in the smoking train. Most people don't smoke anywhere. That's not a good thing. VIP section of the train. You're one of the last few who's part of that initial group. So that when I make it when I make it huge, you're going to be like, I was on that train. It's now full and we're good together. So you're listening to Vancouver, right? And we're going to listen to some music by the Yellow Magic Orchestra because this is magic today. We're having so much fun every Friday at 10 a.m. Oh, I can't wait to be back and share more great stories with you guys. Call in 604-822-2487 and enjoy your life, people.
Either you've been troubled, you've been broke, you've been hungry, no job, no money. The one you love has deserted you. That makes you blue.
Got the blues? Just want to hear some blues? Tune in every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5 for Code Blue. Right here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, www.citr.ca. Code Blue.
Yes, how he feels, but blues ain't nothing but a man, good man feeling bad, no how. That's all that is.
Are you interested in Indigenous issues? Do you get ticked off with ongoing colonization? Do you have something to say? Or do you want to learn more? We have just the thing. Join UBC's first ever Indigenous Radio Collective at CITR Radio, Unceded Musqueam Territories. Our show, Unceded Airwaves, airs every Monday from 11 to 12, and we meet from 12 to 1 to plan our upcoming shows. We're interested in content covering various things from film to literature, current day politics, history, whatever you want to talk about, we're into it. Everyone welcome, Indigenous and non-Indigenous.
Thank you.
back on Vancouver, right? That was Lettuce Breakout live in Japan. What a great song. What a journey we've had in that song and on this show. I had some plans of things I was going to talk about here, but I need to finish with Breakout and break in with an announcement, a very important announcement. So you might want to put down, especially if you're a UBC student, this concerns you. There now is bubble tea in the AMS nest. That's right. We've got bubbles. We've been playing Japanese music the whole show, and now we've got this delicious drink that I just realized isn't actually invented in Japan, so that doesn't quite tie in. But Japanese people love it, and I love it. So you can now get bubble tea, and I'm also announcing my weight gain that will be starting today. I'm going to put on 20 pounds because every Friday I'm having a bubble tea. Oh, I love that stuff. That's one I feel like that's kind of a deal breaker. Like Pomeranians, if you don't like Pomeranians, I don't want to hear from you. Bubble tea. If you don't like bubble tea, I mean, I can't even. I'm somewhat of an atheist. I would rather go to church, have holy water poured on my head, learn everything about your belief system, and marry you in the church of your choice than have to hear about how you don't like bubble tea. Because that is, it's tapioca in a delicious taro-y drink. Oh man, I love that. Best bubble tea in Vancouver. By the way, probably coming from Chatham. Probably going to get some heat for that. Don't really know much about bubble tea other than I like it. So that's kind of a mystery. Do you ever feel that where you get into something? Like you get really into, I don't know, jazz or bubble tea or My Little Pony or whatever your thing is. Whatever, My Little Pony is a bad example, but you get into a field or a genre or a type of cuisine, and you're a fan, but you're a new fan. And what do you know about new fans? They're not very good fans, right? Like you meet somebody that's into the same thing as you, and they just got into it, and they always like don't really have a great idea of what that thing is yet. You know, I love 90s rap. I love Biggie. They always name like the played out kind of like the popular things. When I get into something now, it's bad because if you're not aware of this happening, you can just get excited. Yay, bubble tea. I'm getting into it. I love it. Chat time's the best. But now I'm like, no, you know what? If I knew more about this, I would probably know that place is hack. That's it. You get into comedy, you're like, I love Dane Cook and this other person and Carlos Mencia. Yay, all these big names of comedy. Maybe Carlos Mencia is a bad example, but maybe like, I don't know, 5 years ago. And you love all these people. Bill Cosby, you're into comedy, and then you find out more about comedy. You're like, wow, I was an idiot. I was liking Total Hacks. And sorry, Dane, that I included you. You probably didn't deserve that. I'm a nobody. And then you learn more about it, and now you're into it. Like, I'm sure before you started this show this morning, you didn't know a lot about 80s Japanese music. And now you got a pretty damn good introduction. But you know what? We're probably not even skimming the surface. To a true connoisseur, those songs are probably, oh yeah, everybody knows those songs. You think you're deep, you're not a deep cut. So maybe that's the meaning of this show. Maybe that's the lesson we learned today, is that you need to accept your depth. You got to get in there and stop treading water, swim to the bottom and grab a pearl. Vancouverite. Oh man, I've had a great show with you guys. It's been a real blast. And I feel bad that I have to leave. I feel maybe that I should play some like Canadian music or something a little more down the line, like what we're supposed to play. Maybe I'll end with something like that. But I just want to say thank you so much. We've had, what, like 7-8 months? We used to be on Thursday really early, and it was it hurt. I got to be honest, getting up early, but I was getting up for you guys, and I liked it. And no, you're not you guys. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to the people that have stuck with us. I'm talking to you, one to one. Thank you for listening. It's been so much fun. Let's talk about some of the awesome things we've experienced. We've had awesome local comics get involved. Ivan Decker, Catherine McGee, big names, big headliners. We had Mark Normand. Wasn't that awesome? And if you're listening to our podcast, you know that we've been interviewing actors. We had a crossover episode with the number one Vancouver podcast, the Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. And they thought we were complete fools. And they're probably right. We've experienced so much awesome stuff. And all of our episodes are archived on Vancouver Right, Vancouver, Right? Question mark. Simon Armstrong, my co-host, is missing. I mean, he went off for this radio internship, and he's been gone ever since. He's been gone for 2 months. So I don't know what, and we don't really speak that much. So I don't know at what point it's like, okay, I'm changing the photo. He's still paying for the podcast though. So if you're out there, thank you for doing that. You're always welcome back. I don't know what's going on here, but I'm happy to keep this going. And I'm sure he's going on to big things. It's nice. The more people you know, the bigger the chance is one of them is going to make it big. Luckily, you guys know me, and that's all you need. But if you're associating with peasants, then meet lots of people. Get out there. Say hi. You know, they do this thing in church. It's so cheesy where they're like, turn around and greet the person next to you. I think we got to do that more. I think if you did that on the street more, you would probably be maced. This is probably a bad idea. I think we need to ease our way into just talking to everybody. Otherwise, everything will just fall apart. And speaking of falling apart, this next song is called Let's Get Ready to Crumble by the Russian Futurists. Great Canadian band. And I've had so much fun with you guys this morning. We're broadcasting from 101.9 FM, unceded Musqueam territory, as always. And I am always here on Fridays at 10 a.m. And I'll be back next week with a great guest. Thank you so much. Stay tuned for Dave Radio. Oh, what a great show that is. I'm saying goodbye one more time just because I like you so much. Goodbye, Dave Radio.